amend the law single-handedly. Bush's version would allow him to object to individual items and then send the package back to Congress for approval in an up or down vote. He says it's going to pass congressional muster. Peace activist Cindy Sheehan arrested after a UN march today. U.S. and Iraqi women demanding withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq marched from the United Nations to the U.S. mission today. That's where Cindy Sheehan and three others were arrested. Their march followed a press conference at UN headquarters where Iraqi women described the daily killings and ambulance bombings as part of the escalating violence that keeps women in their homes. Women Say No to War, which helped organize the march, said Sheehan and three others arrested while trying to deliver a 60,000-signature petition to the U.S. mission to the United Nations urging the withdrawal of troops from Iraq. The influential Republican chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee planning to retire next year. California Congressman Bill Thomas announced today he will not seek a 15th term, not an unexpected decision. Because of the limits House Republicans impose on committee chairman, Thomas would have been forced to give up his chairmanship next year. South Dakota's governor says he agrees unborn children are society's most vulnerable people. That's why he signed a bill banning almost all abortions. Governor Mike Rounds says the measure that was passed in order to challenge existing federal law is likely, however, to be tied up in court for years. The Bush administration says it's confident Iran's disputed nuclear program will soon be referred to the U.N. Security Council. Officials at the State Department, though, dismissing reports of a breakthrough in talks with Russia. Russian diplomats had been promoting a shift of Iran's nuclear enrichment activities to Russia.
Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here with you. Mike, having sat in for Randy Rhodes today on the Air America Radio Network, I get to have all the late night fun. Thanks for joining me. Always a pleasure to sit in for Mike. And hey, we've almost gotten to be friends, right? I mean, pretty close. I've sat in for Mike any number of times. I'm going to be doing it again tomorrow night and then the entire week of March 20th through the 24th. So we'll get to know each other real well. It's a blast, isn't it, in general, the world, if it wasn't just kind of fraying. Well, I guess I was going to say fraying at the edges. It's getting a little more serious than that. The Bush machine, Bushco, Bush Incorporated, bringing the world just a little closer to nuclear war, right, given his treaty with India, at least the one he's proposing. The compulsory pregnancy forces score a victory in South Dakota. And there's a number of other things we're going to talk about during the evening as well. The economy, that pathetic thing. Now, how's it working out that it's growing, except you and I, the average middle class and working class American, aren't doing better? In fact, we're doing a little worse. We'll talk about that. Also, the First Amendment. This is going to kill you. I wonder, see, one of the things that I forget about, When I do my Detroit show here, it's on a rock and roll station, so it's the first thing out of the gate. No one has talked about the issues that I talk about on my show till I do, except Air America begins right early in the morning. So for all I know, all of this has been discussed any number of times. I've been listening a lot today to Air America because, you know, that deal with these right-wing Christians booting off a wonderful Air America station in Phoenix, Arizona, a successful one. You know, we always talk about, you know, money doesn't talk, it swears. Well, in the world of right-wing ideology, they go even beyond money. I mean, we think of them mostly as motivated by greed, right? And not true with a lot of these folks. I mean, the people up at the top, you know, Bush's base, the haves and the have-mores, as he called them one time. Ha, 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 right? When he had a tuxedo on, he's talking to all his rich buddies. Well, a lot of these people that are the cannon fodder for the right, you know, if you're listening, you know who I'm talking about. It's you. The people that are working class or middle class, but identify with their betters. The kind of people that in the old days would have one of those caps, and they'd come to the boss and say, well, kind of stutter. Of course, when they're faced with people below them, somebody down the ladder, either socially or racially or an age or gender or something like that, they're real tough, they're real mean. But you know how they are when they face the big guy, the big father figure. Don't you think that would have been a better phrase for Orwell instead of big brother, big father? I mean, that's really, yeah, I read an autobiography of George Orwell and talked about him writing the book, and I don't remember a discussion of why he chose Big Brother, because, you know, it was Stalin, and Stalin was one of these ultimate authoritarian father figures that was on one hand kind if you followed all the rules of the family, but extraordinarily punitive if you didn't. And people loved him. I mean, people loved dictators. People loved Hitler. People loved Mao. People loved Stalin. Well, one of the things I wanted to try here, and I did this on my Detroit show last night, is something I called rumor control. And if you're some of my listeners from Detroit, you might want to call in as well. Oh, yeah, hey, yeah, we got a phone number, don't we? 866-303-2270. 866-303-2270. We had this deal called rumor control. And, you know, the cities have those things, usually about racial stuff. So people start thinking, they're coming, you know, one of those things, you scotch those rumors so people don't get all whacked out. Fortunately, I don't think that kind of thing happens anymore. Does it? I hope not. But anyway, the rumors fly about Bushco, Bush Incorporated, because, you know, as I always say, we don't have a government, we have a racket. We have a corporation that is disguised as a government, a gangster-controlled racket, a gangster-controlled government that acts solely on behalf of the haves and the have-mores, Bush's base. That leaves us in a position where the formerly effective ways of making change just don't do it as much as it used to, right? So we've got to figure out, as a people, since now, I mean, what there's debate about whether Cheney's popularity is as low as 28% or is it as low as 14%, right? So why are these guys still in office? All right, so we're talking about rumors, and the rumors fly. And you know where rumors fly the most? In non-democratic societies, because people do not trust, they certainly don't trust the government, and they don't trust the official means of communication, because they know the official means of communication are tied into the government. This is the way it was. I mean, actually, if you lived in the Soviet Union, and you had Izvestia and Pravda and papers like that, the Russians knew what to do. If they said, the papers said there was a great grain harvest, they knew there was a crop failure. You know? So you just knew the opposite. Now, the media here in the United States dutifully and willfully repeating every lie of Bushko in the first few years has suddenly tasted the blood in the water. So now we can depend on them for a lot of information that most of us had all along, right? We knew this stuff. It was out there. All these official liars, both in the government and the media, they knew it was a lie, and they just were hoping that none of us would say in an effective way that the emperor has no clothes. Well, we were real persistent. We had demonstrations, we had rallies, we wrote letters, we sat in, we had hunger strikes, we did everything under the sun, and people are always saying, that's not effective, that's not going to be effective, that's not going to be effective. Well, you know what? We've been damn effective, and we've got to be more effective. As far as I'm concerned, I'm going to get real radical on you now. I'm not thinking about the 06 elections. I'm not thinking about the 08 elections. I think we ought to think about how can we drive Bushko from office. And I don't mean in any illegal way. I mean, remember, Nixon resigned. So what we ought to be about is what can we do in this country to get this gangster regime out of here? I mean, okay, oh, man, gangster regime. All right, let's be nice. This thoroughly incompetent, greedy, miserable, anti-middle class, anti-working class, anti-poor regime out of here before they do any more damage. I mean, what are they going to break next? I mean, I think that's the question. What are they going to break next? And just as last week with India. But let me stay on rumor control. All right. I got to be focused. It's hard for me. Us ADD talk show hosts, very hard. Hey, by the way, if you're just tuning in, this isn't Mike Malloy. It's the Mike Malloy Show on Air America. I'm Peter Werbe, broadcasting from Detroit. Our numbers are 866-303-2270. All right, so what I'm going to do, I've heard a couple of rumors, and I actually don't know whether they're true or not. And I did this last night, and people called in with a few rumors that they had heard. And mostly what it is, it comes to you through the Internet. And we've gotten, at least most of us have, savvy enough not to believe absolutely everything. We want to see this sourced. All right, so here is what a listener sent to me. He said that the Secret Service has forbidden Bush to go hunting with Cheney. Now, that sounds like a Letterman joke to me, doesn't it? On the face of it, it sounds like a rumor, the basis of which is humor. Liberal left humor at the expense of a president we despise. On the other hand, wouldn't it make some sense? Here's a guy that goes out and has a bunch of cold ones and blasts his hunting partner in the face. Can you imagine if that would have been Bush out there hunting with him? So that's the rumor I heard. I have no way to substantiate it whatsoever. So I wrote back and said, I'm going to have to accept this as not a fact, although I'm going to hold it in abeyance. The other one is that Cheney is going to retire after the midterm elections. Now, what did he do? I don't know. I'm not Karl Rove, fortunately. Imagine what a weight that would be on the normal brain. But Cheney to retire after midterm elections. So I'm thinking, if I wanted to get rid of this liability, and Dick Cheney is an enormous liability to the Republicans, would you want him to resign before or after? Before, like saying putting in Condoleezza Rice or something like that. Maybe what would happen would be that people would that would look worse. They would be admitting that this person was awful. And that they were, they wouldn't do it before. I'm talking myself out of this. So the midterm elections, that makes sense. And this comes from Insight. It's one of these Mooney publications. All right, you got rumors? This is Rumor Control here. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. A little later in the hour, about 10:34 or so Eastern Time, we're going to be talking about the Oscars. That was a big win for the left, wasn't it? Boy, the righties hated it. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show, 866-303-2270. This is the Air America Radio Network.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Clarence Young, a scientist at GlaxoSmithKline, on how far he's willing to go.
Finding a new antibiotic is about as easy as catching one particular snowflake. It takes about 15 years to find one that works. Then, as soon as the bacteria develop resistance, we're right back where we started. But everyone benefits from antibiotics, so the war never stops. At GSK, quitting's just not an option.
GlaxoSmithKline. Today's medicines, tomorrow's miracles.
There are two kinds of bikers. There's the tough, hardcore biker, like Smokey here.
Hey, bro.
And then there's the weekend rider, like Jeff.
Hey, man.
These two bikers couldn't be more different, except for one thing. You both have GEICO motorcycle insurance. Because GEICO covers most kinds of motorcycles, and they offer money-saving discounts. So, you see, you guys, you have more in common than you thought.
Neat.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
Hi, Truth Seekers. You're listening to Peter Werby sitting in for me, Mike Malloy.
Well, thank you, Mike Malloy. Peter Werby here for Mike, as Mike said. Mike having done the wonderful Randy Rhoads show just a few hours ago. So they're probably sitting at home in the comfort of their living room. Hey, we're talking about rumor control. Bush can no longer hunt with Cheney, and that Bush is expected to retire within a year after the elections. We're going to talk about the Oscars. What a victory for left culture. That's why these right-wingers, man, they're just whining and pissing and moaning. Have you read any of this stuff? The Hollywood, like that. They weren't watching. In fact, the Oscars were down about 10% in terms of viewership, and I think it's because all the righties turned out. I mean, all of them. They're not that many of them. They just make a lot of noise, and they're real mean, and they're at it 24 hours a day, so it seems like there's more of them than they actually are. And so they weren't watching the Oscars. Most of the right-wingers weren't tuned in. They were at home watching their DVD copies of The Passion of the Christ, I think. All right, let's take some phone calls, and, is it my choice here? Okay, here, Ken in Spring Valley, Illinois. Hey, how you doing, Ken? It's Peter Werby. You're on the air.
How you doing there, sir?
I'm doing okay.
The thing I want to say is, that, you know, you talk about rumors.
Yeah.
And I really don't think it's going to be a rumor. I really do totally believe this, that in 2006, well, Cheney will resign, and he will get his little brother, who is it, from Florida.
Oh, you mean you think he'll put Jeb in there?
And he'll put Jeb in there for vice president. And I'm serious when I say that.
Well, I believe you're serious, but why not? Why not just have the dynasty right up front?
And I really believe that Bush believes that he has a dynasty.
How about if he put his dad in there or his mom?
Well, yeah, you could actually put his dad back because he can go one more term.
That's right. That's right.
So,
God, it's great, Ken.
I really think it's going to be Jeb.
All right, thank you, Ken. Thanks
for
calling.
Bye-bye.
Here's Michael in the Bronx. Michael, hi, it's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. Hey, you with me, Mike?
Hey, Peter, how you doing?
Doing great.
Okay, before I get to why I'm calling, I had a couple of jokes for you. Also, one of the things that you mentioned about Bush putting his mom in, please know, because just as Bush takes quotes from TV, he'll make like Sylvester Stallone says, "Stop, or my mom will shoot." You know, and
yeah.
A couple of Bush Cheney jokes.
Sure.
You remember Dan Quayle?
I do indeed.
Yes. Well, the rumor has it that Dan Quayle will not accept the invitation to the White House as long as Bush and company are in it because he doesn't want to be the next Quayle to be shot at.
There you go. Are you making these up, Mike?
These are jokes. These are jokes.
I mean, have you heard these jokes, or are these ones you're composing?
Some of them came right from the top of my head, just like the next one, that Bush is giving another presidential address, and somebody says, "On George, you're on in 20 seconds. Thanks, I'll be ready in 2 minutes.
Mike, say goodnight, Mike. All right, thanks a lot. Thanks for joining us. Here is Brenda in Indianapolis. Hi, Brenda, you're on the air. No jokes, please.
Hi. No, I don't have any jokes. You know, talk about rumor control. I'd like to stop the rumor that teaching abstinence to our children keeps them
chaste
from getting pregnant.
Yeah.
So my thought is, you know, we teach children about either DARE programs all over the United States, right? Teaching kids about drugs so that they can hopefully make the right decision not to do drugs.
Right.
And I'm wondering why we don't do the same about teaching kids about sex so that they can determine whether or not and make a good decision on abstaining or, protecting themselves.
Don't most schools have sex ed classes?
I don't know, but you hear, you know, I just saw a program, and I don't know what it was on, you know, C-SPAN or what it was on, but there were two women. One was for teaching abstinence only, and the other woman was for giving kids all the information at the proper age, of course.
Sure. Well, that's like the Catholic Church. You went to Catholic school. That's what they would tell you. And they'd show you these films and show you, you know, you'd get VD and you get pregnant. And I don't know. Didn't stop any Catholic girls that I knew. Thanks, Brenda. I appreciate your call. Here's Ron out in Davis, California. Ron, hi. It's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, Peter. It's good to talk to you. I talked to you once, so I don't know, must have been 9-10 months ago.
Welcome. Welcome back.
Yeah, you're great. This is a rumor based upon a fact. The fact is, as you know, March 20th, Iran is going to start selling oil and petrodollars.
Right.
And the rumor is that there's a couple of them. The first is that either Israel or the United States will bomb, not invade, but bomb certain parts of Iran. And there's an even deeper rumor that Russia and China will counterattack.
Yeah, well, I don't know that, those are necessarily rumors. And but at a minimum, Iran would choke off oil supply to the West. It would be a disastrous decision, and what would flow from that militarily and politically, I'd hate even to speculate. We'll talk about that a little more a little later in the program. Thanks, Ron. I got to take this break right now. We'll be right back with Curtis Ellis. Curtis Ellis is our politically incorrect culture vulture and also the best-dressed liberal in New York City. And he's waiting in the Air America studios in New York. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. We'll be right back after these on the Air America Radio Network.
I'm so glad you got tickets to this concert.
Yeah, definitely. This guy's put on a killer show.
Great, let's go.
Wait, it's just the opening band. Let's get a little stone first. It's crazy strong. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
You're already doing what's hard for your health. You diet.
That's hard.
You do regular exercise.
That's harder.
You even get a colonoscopy.
The hardest.
If your doctor says you're at risk for a heart attack, he could tell you that adding Bayer low dose is a simple way to help prevent 1 out of 3 heart attacks.
Now that's simple.
Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen. Bayer low dose. A little does a lot.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement. And now we're trying to develop a civil rights movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
And now a soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
Well, it'll be a little more soothing tonight. Peter Werby in for Mike Malloy. Mike is never soothing. I love the man. 866-303-2270 for the Mike Malloy Show. Joining me in the New York Air America headquarters studio are Curtis Ellis, my old buddy. Curtis.
Hey, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. You are our politically incorrect culture vulture, best dressed liberal in New York City.
That's right. I'm doing this broadcast in a tuxedo.
Curtis, even when he's on radio, is well dressed. You should see what I'm wearing.
Should I? What are you wearing?
Nothing. Yeah,
okay.
All the old stuff.
We'll do our radio fashion show. That's
all
a very compelling idea.
All right. Okay. Now, this is probably going to shock some of the hardcore Malloy listeners that we're going to talk about the Oscars, but the Oscars are so political.
Oh, yeah.
It was such a triumph for the left, just even the nominees, that the whole right wing just said, you know, they're going to watch their Passion of the Christ DVD for the 17th time.
Yeah. Yeah, really. This was, they say this was the year of the message movie. And yep. Who was it? Was it Cecil B. DeMille or somebody said if you want to, or Otto Preminger, if you want to send a message, go to Western Union.
Yeah, but that's all gone.
That's all gone. Those are the days of yore that's gone the way of the studio system. It was amazing. Amazing. The big triumph was Crash, right? Everybody was thinking Brokeback Mountain. We got the gays with Brokeback Mountain. And then you had the terrorism with Munich. And you have the censorship with Good Night and Good Luck. And you've got the whatever Capote was about, truth and murder and personality. But, you know, everybody said, gee, isn't that funny? Jon Stewart's joke is this is what we go to the movies for, escapism, right? Well, right. It makes perfect sense because look at what the news is about these days. It's about celebrity gossip, fiction like Judy Miller or Rambo, you know, some kind of fiction like that. Or else you have tabloid crime, you know, the missing white woman, whether she's missing from down in Aruba or now you have all CNN was talking about today was this drunk slut who got raped and murdered in a bar in New York. Now, this is shocking. We're supposed to be shocked that if you stay out till 4 in the morning drinking in the Bowery, you might get raped and murdered. I don't know what kind of upbringing this girl had, but I knew that that could happen. That's why I'm not a girl. No, that's why I don't go drinking at 4 in the morning in the Bowery. But no, not to blame the victim here. But my point is this. The news is all about this fluff, so of course the movies are going to be about serious issues.
Well, that is interesting that there has been this turn. It's also the turn of the small movies. In fact, there was an article that I saw that said this could signal the end of these $250 million productions, although King Kong and a couple of the others picked up some awards.
But not much, yeah.
Yeah.
Really, they got nothing.
The big ones were the ones that either said, yes, gays are human beings. I mean, that was a subtext.
Gays are human beings. They can either be cowboy human beings or they can be effete New York snob human beings.
Yeah.
But no stereotypes here.
No stereotypes.
Gays come in all flavors.
And the interesting part of it is in that the hostility that comes out of the right towards Hollywood. You know that silly woman, what's her name, Laura Ingraham, who has that book, Shut Up and Sing. She wants them just to be these entertainers for
I'll tell you, these right-wingers, they remind me of that old joke they used to have about the left. The joke about the left was, I love the people, it's just people I can't stand. And the right wing is, I love America, it's just Americans I can't stand. They can't stand gay Americans, they don't like black Americans, they don't like Jewish liberal Hollywood filmmaker Americans, they don't like people who go to those movie Americans. It's like, well, who do you like? You like America, but you just can't stand Americans. This is ridiculous.
Well, here is the problem. If you said to them, what would you like us to produce and what would you like to see, it wouldn't be very interesting at all. For one thing, the right rarely can ever make art. Fascists cannot make art. I mean, there's some exceptions. You know, I mean, think about it, Curtis.
Now, Hugo Boss, one of my favorite, I get criticized for buying Hugo Boss clothing. They actually designed the SS uniforms. Same company.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
So I guess, now I don't wear SS uniforms, though. I mean, thank God Hugo Boss has updated their wardrobe since then.
You were starting to scare me a little there. Curtis Ellis is my guest. We're talking about the Oscars. Well, I mean, for every, like, for instance, for every rocker that's on the right, and there's a couple of
right.
There's
Ted Nugent from
Ted
your
Nugent.
Neck of the woods.
Yeah, well, they're all from my neck of the woods. Kid Rock. They're all from Detroit. Or you have what's Bruce Willis or,
right.
or somebody like that. But it's like the exception proves the rule. The creative spirit emanates from the left. The left produces a creative spirit.
Well, I liked what that guy said when he accepted the award for Crash. I believe it was the Crash guy. He said he quoted Bertolt Brecht. He said, "Art is not a mirror that you hold up to the culture. It's a hammer to shape it." Ooh,
yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
That would go over in Detroit, you know, Motor City.
Gotcha.
Hammer.
Well, actually, now it's the Pizza City. Most of the automobile manufacturing is either left or going.
Down to Shanghai.
Yeah, but now it's, you know, it's Monahan and Domino's and Little Caesar and stuff like that.
Hey,
the most controversial Oscar nominee probably was Defending Paradise, that tale of the two old friends recruited to perform
Paradise
suicide.
Now, yeah.
Paradise, what did I say?
Yeah, Defending Paradise. Yeah, the foreign films, the foreign language films were probably the best movies out there. You had Paradise Now, and then there was Tsotsi, which won, South African film about the kids in Soweto. That was these are great films. And then Sophie Scholl about the White Rose, the anti-Nazi student movement. That
really?
Lasted about 15 seconds.
Yeah, you know,
stamped out, baby.
I have to say,
all those people in Hugo Boss uniforms.
I didn't even know that. That's what that was about, because we have WhiteRoseSociety.org.
Ben
Birch, who archives all of our shows. So go to WhiteRoseSociety.org. It tells you the history of the White Rose Society, the anti-Nazi student group, and also he should be supported in his fundraising efforts. It's because he does so much good work for all of us.
Now Crash beat out Brokeback Mountain, and Crash is not the David Cronenberg film of the same title, which is a very weird movie about car crash fetishists, which I do recommend. But Crash is it's about racism and how everybody's racist, and it's kind of a nuanced movie. I mean, in its credit, I have to say it does a good job, because it shows that blacks can be stupid. White racists have a reason they get that way. Even immigrants can be bigots, right? I mean, nobody's pure in this movie. Everybody's got something going on.
Well, that almost sounds right wing.
But it's not.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, maybe they'll come back to the theaters. I mean, because it was out a long time ago, almost this time last year. So maybe they'll bring it back. It's worth seeing. In the end, it was just too L.A. for me, you know, because I'm a New Yorker, and this is just too L.A. because it's like the cut line of the film is people are so isolated in their cars, they need to crash into each other just to make some human contact. What a great idea. Let's make that movie, okay? And it's just like, okay. Look, I was in L.A. for 15 minutes, and I figured that out. But
Curtis Ellis is my guest on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werby. Any disappointments that you had? I mean, actually, I have to say it. I never really care. I mean, I enjoy the films, but if my favorite film doesn't win, like Good Luck, Good Night and Good Luck, I didn't care.
Yeah, I wasn't. I'm with you, Peter. There was nothing that really, really got me so excited. I was just hoping so bad it won. These were all good movies, and there were great things about all of them, but none of them really went over the top for me. I'm glad that Philip Seymour Hoffman got his trophy for Capote. The most profoundly political film did win in the documentary category.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The Penguin movie.
The Penguin movie, The March of the Penguins. It beat out Enron, Smartest Guys in the Room, which is a good movie, too. But I really do believe that the Penguin movie was the most profoundly political film, because you got these penguins who, you know, they're 5 years old, and then they go marching across Antarctica. And the profoundly political message here is we don't even know why we do most of the things we do.
But you know what? This film, for some odd reason, was a big favorite of the far right-wing Christians. They said that this showed the existence of God, and that they had that the penguins were, you know, they had a place, very defined place in the universe that was created, and that they were monogamous. And I'm thinking, this was like proof of atheism. I mean, there's actually.
I thought it was very Zen.
Well, wait a minute. There's a God that says, I'm going to make these really odd birds, and I'm going to put them down where it's 40 below to make them stand there.
Very cruel God.
Yeah, I mean, what is this?
A very cruel God.
Let me say a little something to our engineers here. Let me give me another couple minutes with Curtis Ellis rather than just going to the hard break.
And thank you, Peter.
We'll continue. So I didn't get that. Plus, you know, they like it that these penguins are monogamous, but
right.
It's serial monogamous. I know friends like that. Oh, yeah, I'm monogamous, you know, for about 4 months.
Right, until the next babe comes along.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the way these penguins were.
Yeah.
What were these people thinking?
I don't know. See, I thought it was very zen. It's like we do things. We don't know why. You try to reason it out. It doesn't make any sense. There's no reason. There's no logic to this.
Didn't you feel sorry for the penguins? Didn't you?
I kind of did. It's like, I'm glad I'm not a penguin. But I'm wondering, but it made me think, what do I do like that? You know, I've got to be doing something just as, like, mindless and ingrained and automatic that,
You buy Hugo Boss.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. I go and spend ridiculous money on clothing.
Well, I mean, I wanted to take those penguins.
To be on the radio.
and bring them to Mexico. give me a final word or two. We were going to talk about a couple of other things.
Rachel Corey, the play.
The Alan Rickman play.
My name is Rachel Corey about that poor girl who got bulldozed in Israel trying to stop a Palestinian house from getting bulldozed.
Yeah,
well, they bulldozed it in New York, baby. It ain't going to be shown here, and everybody's upset about that. The show that is going to go on, by the way, though, since we only have a second left, if anybody watches The L Word, maybe it's about those lesbians
right.
in L.A., Shane, the woman who plays Shane, Catherine Monig, I'm probably not pronouncing her name right. She plays Shane in The L Word. She is going to be in New York in a play playing Lindy England. There's a casting.
Well,
cool.
Let me say the New York Theater Workshop said that they were not going to bring the play about Rachel Corey to New York as they had intended.
Right. That's right.
It's gotten so much publicity. I can't believe there's not another theater.
Oh, somebody else. You bet. Someone else is going to bring it up.
Built-in audience.
Built-in audience.
As usual. I'm going to be doing the show again, Mike's show, March 20th to 24th. Let's meet again.
Oh, you bet. Thank you.
All right. Curtis Ellis, thanks
care.
For joining me on the Mike Malloy Show.
Take care. Thanks.
Always a pleasure. Curtis Ellis, our politically incorrect movie and theater reviewer. All right, Peter Werby here with you at 866-303-2270. At the top of the hour, we got another segment before that, and I'll get your calls. Sheldon Drobny, one of the founders of Air America, he's trying to save a Phoenix Air America station. You're not going to believe this story if you haven't heard it already. All right, we'll be right back after these on the Air America Radio Network.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4-K-9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Search Dog USA.
Some of the best minds in the automotive industry, using some of the most sophisticated design facilities. Engineers from Ford Motor Company are working together on a common mission, creating safer cars for our families and our children. Ford is renewing its commitment to driving American innovation. At the core of that effort is your safety, because every single life saved is worth it. Ford, driving American innovation.
And now, back to Peter Werbe on the Mike Malloy Show.
Thank you, Mike. Peter Werbe broadcasting from Detroit, taking your calls at 866-303-2270. Email calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Calltalkyes@yahoo.com. My website, my last name is spelled W-E-R-B-E, W-E-R-B-E, peterwerbe.com. Lots of good stuff there for you. I'm not selling a thing, so it's, you know. That's not the reason. Anyway, we're just talking with Curtis Ellis about the Oscars, and I made the remark that the right wing cannot produce art. Now, that's not an absolute, because we know there's some right wing rockers, there's some right wing artists, Salvador Dali, the great surrealist from the surrealist movement, supported the Spanish dictator Franco. So there are some exceptions. Architects, a lot of right-wing architects, but generally you have to have an open, adventurous spirit to be creative, and that just ain't there with the right-wing, conservative, fascistic mind, is it? They're closed, they're authoritarian, it's hard for them to grasp new ideas. In fact, they get all upset. They hate ambiguity. They hate ambiguity. That's why they don't like gays, for instance. Makes them, you know, a little uncomfortable because people are a little different. That's why they don't like people of color. You know, that's a little different. They don't like lots of things. You say, well, isn't there some people of color right-wingers? Don't start me on that. All right, let's do this. 866-303-2270. And, rumor control. Let's go to Mike in Sacramento. Mike, hi, it's Peter Werbe. What's your rumor?
Hi, Peter. Well, I was watching The Real last night on Air America, and there was discussion about the Coretta Scott King funeral that Harry Belafonte was disinvited to because he called a spade a spade. Now, that is George Bush a terrorist.
Yeah, he's been letting Bush have it. I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that one is.
The Coretta Scott King's family disinvited the man who paid for the burial of Dr. King.
Harry Belafonte did that?
That's what was said last night. And Harry Belafonte is one of the great American entertainers.
He certainly is.
And great American citizens.
Well, all right, Mike, let's do this. That's, I have to say, I don't know whether it's true or false. We'll put that out there. Was Harry Belafonte disinvited to the Coretta Scott King funeral? Well, all right, so we'll put that out there. Here is Jim in Columbus, Ohio. Jim, hi. Peter Werbe in for Mike Malloy. You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing good.
Good. I've got a comment. I'm thinking that this isn't about rumors, but about this port deal and this India deal that Bush is doing. I kind of think that it has Karl Rove all over it. I'm just thinking it's just so outrageous that, you know, all the news media has picked up on it. And Bush being a lame duck, it gives a Republican Congress a chance to stand up against Bush. And so they have a much better chance of getting reelected in 06.
Wow. You know, it takes a mind to think of these things. I'm not saying you, but all of a sudden, this light bulb went off. I don't know. You think so? I mean, they're bulletproof. You're right. Bush and Cheney, they don't matter if their popularity goes down to 8%. And sure, all of these, suddenly all of these Republicans are standing up against them. Here's Lou in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Lou, hi. It's the Mike Malloy Show. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing?
Doing good.
First of all, I'd like to mention this South Dakota abortion law. I understand there was a poll taken. 60% of the people in South Dakota are opposed to it. And I hope they get together and disenfranchise that legislature, we'll say.
Well, they should. Why do they have a South and North Dakota? They get four senators.
Yeah, four senators. Yeah, they're about the same, but still in all, I'd like to see those people. But the main thing I was going to mention is also our Senate.
Finish up for me real quickly. Got about 20 seconds.
Yeah, just a couple days ago passed this so-called Patriot Act.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that every one of those traitors that voted for that act should be
Well, only 10 Democrats voted against it. Fortunately, one of my senators, Carl Levin of Michigan, voted against it. All right, we're going to take a top-of-the-hour break, get you some news, and we'll be back with Sheldon Drobny, one of the founders of Air America, talking about saving Air America in Phoenix. Peter Werbe in for Mike Malloy on the Air America Radio Network.
Malloy on Air America Radio. This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
This winter, reform has been the buzzword in Washington. Anxious lawmakers reacted with alarm to lobbyist Jack Abramoff's guilty plea. Something needed to be done to silence the public outcry. The sooner the better. That something is turning out to be little more than nothing. It's an election year, and members of Congress need money. Lobbyists are happy to supply it. $5,000 buys a snorkeling trip with Congressman Buck McKeon, the new chairman of the House Education and Workforce Committee. A similar amount of dough purchases a day of skiing and snowmobiling with Senator Conrad Burns, who accepted more money from Abramoff than any other politician. In the 2004 election alone, lobbyists raised $22 million for congressional candidates. Congress talks like an addict, but can't kick the habit. Money is their juice, and cracking down on lobbying would mean getting lobbyist money out of politics. For more, visit thenation.com. I'm Ari Berman for Air America Radio.
He lied about Iraq, ignores Katrina victims, favors special interests, does nothing about rising health care and oil prices, and now he wants to give our ports away. I'm Mike Malloy, and you can find all these Bush crimes and more in the game of Impeached. Just go to ImpeachBushGame.com, where you'll find the board game that's taking America by storm, Impeached. If you're as sick as I am with the Bush crime family's incompetence, greed, and stupidity, you need to visit ImpeachBushGame.com and buy your game today.
I'm so glad you got tickets to this concert.
Definitely. This guy's put on a killer show.
Great, let's go.
Wait, it's just the opening band. Let's get a little stone first. It's crazy strong. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
I'm Bill Crowley. Hamas is asserting its newly found power in the Palestinian parliament. The Hamas-controlled governing body has voted to cancel all decisions made in the outgoing legislature's last session. That vote signals Hamas lawmakers will take a confrontational approach in dealing with the rival Fatah party, which lost the elections in January. Fatah lawmakers urged Hamas was twisting the rules by holding the vote, walked out in protest. The outgoing lawmakers had also moved to give Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas extra power, and those may be taken away. The Israeli military denying it was behind an explosion that left two teenage brothers dead in the central Gaza Strip. Palestinian police say they died when an explosive device went off in a small valley about 2 miles from the Israeli border. They say it wasn't clear if the teens were handling the device or simply stepped on it. There are concerns the headquarters at Homeland Security are not so secure. Private security guards are telling Congress there's been inadequate training and confused reactions to threats. They say in one instance, guards shook suspicious powder out of an envelope right under the secretary's window. Homeland's headquarters, by the way, in a residential area in Washington. The private security firm that guards it previously criticized for its work at nuclear facilities and in transporting nuclear weapons. Colleges that accept federal money have to allow military recruiters on campus. That's the unanimous ruling today from the U.S. Supreme Court. The High Court rejected a free speech challenge from law school professors in the latest battle over the military's don't ask, don't tell policy on gays. Professors who object to the policy said they shouldn't be forced to associate with military recruiters or promote their campus appearances. They said their free speech rights were being violated, but the court didn't agree. In an opinion written by new Chief Justice John Roberts, he said there are other less drastic ways to protest the policy. Al-Qaeda conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui may soon know the penalty he gets. Only two options, death or life in prison. The sentencing phase started today with the final phase of jury selection. Moussaoui has admitted to plotting with Al-Qaeda to hijack planes and commit other crimes, but he says he didn't have anything to do with the 9/11 attack specifically. To obtain the death penalty, prosecutors first have to prove a direct link between Moussaoui and 9/11. Moussaoui denies any connection to those attacks and says he was training for a possible future operation. This is Air America Radio News.
It's the Mike Malloy Show on the Air America Radio Network. Peter Werby sitting in for Mike. Mike is off doing Randy Rhoads' show on Air America. He did it today. He'll do it tomorrow as well. Joining me from Chicago is one of the real heroes of resistance radio, a man who, with a couple others, put together Air America, Sheldon Drobny. Shelley, welcome again. It's always a pleasure to talk to you on the air and in person.
Well, good evening, Peter. Nice to talk to you again. Bring me back to the wonderful old days when we were in underground radio at iAmerica Radio.
That's right. Hey, I don't know if you heard earlier in the show, but we were I sort of instituted this little game called Rumor Control, and here's one which pretty much introduces the subject I want to talk to you about. Joe in Akron writes into Call Talk, calltalkyes@yahoo.com. The rumor I hear is that the right wing is taking over Air America radio stations athwart the November 2006 elections. You hear any of that talk around? Well, we hear a lot of it, don't we?
Well, I'm beginning to get paranoid. As they say, when they're really against you, you're not paranoid.
Exactly. Absolutely. So this happened in Phoenix. Tell us the Phoenix story. This is absolutely incredible.
Well, you know, I've been, ever since Anita and I founded Air America Radio, not only were we the original investors and still are, but we have been goodwill ambassadors, and we're very much aware of what's going on with the affiliates. As a matter of fact, the Phoenix was one of our most successful affiliates, and last September, we celebrated their one-year anniversary of being on the air in front of 1,000 people. They had attended that anniversary celebration, and it was a remarkable event, and we were talking to the station manager, Bob Christie, and things were going great. Advertisers were coming in, and, you know, my goodness gracious, what a nice story. The Arbitrons, which are radio's versions of Nielsen ratings, were just spectacular compared to, you know, what it was before Air America's content. And, you know, my goodness, what a great story.
Yeah, and 1,000 people coming out. I mean, I work for radio stations here in Detroit, and these are very popular radio stations. I don't think there's any way we could get 1,000 people out just for a celebration. We had, I guess I should say, since I'm doing Mike's show, an incredible audience base in Phoenix.
Oh, it was unbelievable. As a matter of fact, when I was invited out there, I had no idea they'd have 1,000 people. And they were standing in line to get in there, and it was a wonderful celebration. They treated Anita and I like rock stars. I mean, you know, we're not used to being treated that well. But
you deserve it, both of you.
Well, thank you. Anyway, so lo and behold, a couple of months ago, I got a call from the station manager saying the owner of the station sold the station to Christian radio owners. And I said, if they're for profit, they're probably going to keep the content. I mean, you know, maybe just buying a lot of radio stations. Well, we soon found out they didn't care about profit too much, and they decided to axe us, and they did it as of March 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't know who funded them, who really owns the stations. They bought a package of 3 stations from the owners of the Phoenix station, and they offered them a great price. So, I mean, I can't blame the former owners from selling the station, but obviously they're well funded, and they're not into, you know, capitalism in the sense that whatever the market wants.
Well, is there a great need for a Christian radio station, a new one in Phoenix?
Obviously, you're a comedian. Anyway,
I am.
I don't know. I mean, I really haven't done a...
Well, you know what? I that was a leading question.
Yeah.
And this makes number 8. On the AM dial in Phoenix, that a station that bumped Air America. I just got an email from Michelle out there. She says the last event they had brought over 1,500 people when Randy Rhoads visited.
Yeah, well, Randy Rhoads is, I mean, she's the queen of talk radio. I mean,
sure.
We're just Anita and Shelley Drobny, but, you know, 1,000 people, and, they're so hungry there, and it's like, amazing. You think of Arizona as sort of like red state territory, and maybe Phoenix being an urban area makes it a little bit more blue, but they're really hungry out there,
yeah.
And they're going crazy. I mean, as a matter of fact, as a result of that, one of my friends who's was the morning show host on that station, Dr. Mike Newcomb, I don't know
mm-hmm.
if you've heard of him.
Sure, of course.
Yeah, Dr. Mike. He had the top-rated show on that station, and he started a website called SaveAirAmericaPhoenix.com. And have you heard of that?
I have indeed. And because hopefully it's as much over the Internet on other people's mail as it has been in mine. But tell us about it. SaveAirAmericaPhoenix.com. But
right.
Sheldon Drobny, tell us about it.
Well, Dr. Mike and I and Anita, we're actually starting a company. It has been fully funded to acquire radio stations, you know, to prevent us from getting kicked off of stations owned or being sold to others such as Christian Broadcasting. But we're still in a funding phase. And as you know, it's not easy to get liberals to write checks. You know the story that we had with Funding Air America. It was a story that we thought, you know, we would be able to convince rich liberals to give us, you know, an open checkbook, but they weren't willing to do that. So, anyway, it's on the air, it's alive and well and economically doing well and well-funded, but it was, an interesting story that, you know, got us to the funding we needed. But anyway.
This is Air America. The Phoenix
Air America
is off right now.
Air America is doing well. It's got, I think, 89 cities now. It was 90 up until Phoenix went down. But nevertheless, it's doing well. And what Air America doesn't do is it doesn't own radio stations. It just it's a network, you know, it provides content. It provides liberal talk radio. In any event, Dr. Mike has started a website because of the demand in Phoenix. He lives there. They're so hungry for an Air America radio station. He's identified one where he can lease the station, not necessarily buy it, just lease it. You know, radio stations are expensive. And he's put together a fund, and it's called Save Air America Radio. No, it's called SaveAirAmericaPhoenix.com. SaveAirAmericaPhoenix.com. And each person who contributes, and there are ranges of $100 and up, but I think I'll take $10. you have sort of like a little stone, a little plaque that you get, and that's going to be permanently representing your contribution on the Air America Phoenix station whenever that gets funded, because it is going to be funded. We're going to amass a group of people somehow.
Well, we need to raise $500,000 to get back on the air by April 3rd.
Right. $500,000 will get us not only the enough money to lease the station and cover operating costs, but once the advertising revenue starts coming in, which fully supported, by the way, the radio station KXXT in Phoenix. They were doing well. They were very positive cash flow. Once that, and those advertisers, according to Mike, are, you know, ready to go on to whatever station we get. So I think it will definitely happen, and we need everybody's help. This is kind of a grassroots effort to get Air America on the air, not only in Phoenix, because that obviously does make a difference in a large metropolitan area like Phoenix and successful as well. But it really sends a message out to the rest of the country that, you know, you can't push us off the air without a fight.
Sure.
And what we're going to do is make sure that Air America, through our organization, has stations that will stay with Air America and not be pushed off the air because Christian Broadcasting or right-wing owners will buy up radio stations to get Air America off the air. The content is great. There is a terrific audience out there. It's just that, you know, you have these bullies that are trying to, you know, push us off the air. And, again, they're going to try, but I they're not going to succeed.
Sheldon Drobny, before we get pushed off the air, let me just tell our engineers in New York to give me a few more minutes with Shelley here. Michelle wrote in, as I said earlier, to calltalkyes@yahoo.com. She said she tuned in for 30 seconds. Now, remember, instead of Al Franken or Randy Rhodes or the Majority Report or Mike Malloy, here's what she heard. She turned in for 30 seconds to the replacement so-called Christian radio station to hear the preacher on the air tell his followers to ignore when Muhammad looks at you funny for bringing a pork sandwich to work. So this is what has been replaced. Bigotry replaces an open, generous spirit to renew America. That's just awful, absolutely awful. But you don't want to say that this is a conscious effort to buy us off the air.
Well, you know, look, there's not enough evidence for me to make that kind of a statement. On the other hand, you know, I don't know who's funding these Christian organizations, and I think for some reason, of all these radio stations available, they picked the one that Air America's on. So, again, I can't say for sure, but I have a lot of suspicion that that kind of thing may have been going on in Phoenix and, you know, perhaps is being attempted in other cities. On the other hand, we're there as a backup to Air America with our organization to try to make sure that we get either ownership or leases of radio stations that don't push Air America off the air. And if we do that, then there's no possible way we could be bought out, and that's the reason for Save AirAmericaPhoenix.com, and if it happens in another city, it'll be saved.
There we go. There'll be the evidence.
Wherever else it is, because, you know, you got to make it a grassroots effort.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
The audience has got to support the show. It's not really public broadcasting, but in a way it is, like, we got lots of money against us, and we need the people to say, you know, we want a free press, and we want free speech, and we want content with a lot more diversity than telling us whether we could eat bacon or not in a certain in certain places. So, nevertheless, you understand that.
I do indeed, and I should get our sponsors on the air. Sheldon Drobny, as usual, what a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for all the good work you're doing for Resistance Radio. My best to Anita. And
your best. And don't forget, SaveAirAmericaPhoenix.com.
And I'll put it on my website, and I'm going to call you tomorrow about something along this line.
Okay.
All right, Shelley. Bye-bye now. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. We'll be right back, 866-303-2270, the Air America Radio Network.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
At Borders, we believe readers should never be stuck without something good to read.
What are you reading?
Soda Can.
Like it?
I've read it before.
Yeah, me too. I found it rather predictable. Carbonated water, aspartame.
I like the part about the final kid in Nurex, though. It sounds so ominous.
You'll always have something great to read with Borders Rewards. Joining is free. Earn rewards every time you shop. See store for details.
What do you think the author meant by canned under the authority of?
Ooh, that part did seem to come out of nowhere.
That's what I thought.
Join Borders Rewards. Make reading even more rewarding.
Thanks a lot for the ride home. Hey, no problem. Just because you're a sophomore doesn't mean I can't talk to you.
Thanks.
Hey, while you're here, want to take a hit of some weed? Some good stuff. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby broadcasting from Detroit, 866-303-2270. We've got over an hour and a half left of the broadcast, and we're going to be completely open line. So it's you and me, baby. 866-303-2270. When I make mistakes, when I make factual mistakes, I count on all of you either on my website, peterwerby.com, or when I say something wrong on the air, I count on you folks to correct me. You know, these right wingers, they never correct themselves. They say the most outrageously factually incorrect stuff. It's not a matter of opinion. Fairness and accuracy in reporting, fair.org, great website, frequently. With frequently good stuff on it. They had a book a couple of years ago called Rush Limbaugh's Reign of Error. And again, not opposing his opinions, but the absolutely outrageous factual errors that he would state on the air. I mean, he's probably stoned. You know, what do you expect from him? I mean, if I was stoned, I'd be making all these errors as well. Anyways, however, I rarely ever have to apologize, or I rarely ever have had to say I made a mistake in judgment, but there may be some of this here. And thank you to Rob for bringing this to me. He says, I'm a big fan of yours, but I have to say, and I'm sorry that since he's not here, and I don't know whether he's listening or not, but Curtis Ellis, who was on earlier talking about the Oscars, he made a comment, Curtis did, about the woman who was murdered a little while ago in New York City, calling her a drunken slut who was murdered in New York. He says, Rob says accurately, it was completely uncalled for. As a New Yorker, like Curtis is, I can assure you the slaying of Emmett St. Gullion, I think is her name, is a tragedy that hurts everyone in this city and not the source of stupid sophomoric humor. As a human being, I'm appalled that you let the horrible line go by unchallenged. And he says, I think you must apologize for these remarks. So to the extent that it offended people, I do apologize. And I was offended by the remark. Curtis, at the end, I think realized that this was an inappropriate thing to say. Sometimes when you're just like that, like he and I were doing, things come out of your mouth. I don't think that justifies it. And he said that he did not mean to blame the victim in this case for her behavior. So put that to rest, I hope. All right, here's Aldous in Madison, Wisconsin. Aldous, thanks for calling 866-303-2270. You're on the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, Peter. I'm living in Madison now, have been for a couple of years, but I used to listen to you in Detroit on the Riff. So.
Oh, yeah. WRIN,
the Riff.
Yes, yeah. Good to hear you again.
Thank you.
So I was calling regarding Save Air America Phoenix.
Yeah.
I just went to the website just before the commercial break there, and I went and made a donation. Now, I'm living here in Madison, right? So the first question one could ask is, what good does it do me to go ahead and support Air America Phoenix? Well, you know, if I can do a real quick sermon here, I'd like to shed some light on that.
Sure. Sure.
Well, basically, I'm from Detroit, man. I know what unions and the power of union and standing up together can do. Okay, so here's two things. First, the first scenario that's possible is that this is a test case, that the right-wingers are saying, let's see if we can pick them off. Let's see if we can just do this kind of sneakily here and there and whittle them down until they're not much of a network at all. In that case, it is well and within our best interest to team up. I don't care if you're listening to Anchorage, Alaska, Air America. I don't care if you're listening in Hawaii, if you're listening in Atlanta.
Sure.
Go ahead to that website, make a donation, stand together, and show these guys decisively that we can get back on the air within a month of getting kicked off, and we're less likely to get kicked in the teeth elsewhere.
Let me just remind people, you know, join talk shows and then leave and just come on. We're talking about this Phoenix Air America affiliate. The station was bought by this Christian network and kicked off our Air America hosts. Even though it was extraordinarily successful. So that's what I was saying at the beginning of the show, Aldous. These right-wingers, the top 1%, the top 5%, they're totally driven by greed, and they couldn't care less about the folks beneath them. But the shock troops, the cannon fodder of the right, they're driven by ideology. So they don't even care that they're kicking off a financially successful format.
Right, that's not even on their radar. But here's the second reason why we should stand together on this. The first one, of course, is to discourage them from trying it again, because if we kick back hard, just like most bullies, they will likely back down. But if they don't and they try it again, then at the very least, we all have a legitimate cause to say, hey, look, we stood together once, and now we need help over in this other location. Let's say the Madison station gets bought out. Let's say the Detroit one does. We can stand up and go, hey, save Air America Detroit, man. They're trying it again. We did it once. We can do it again. And
all right, Aldous, I've got to take a break here. So, yeah, go to SaveAirAmericaPhoenix.com. Bob is also in Madison. He says, I'm demeaning Christians. Well, just wait till you come back. 866-303-2270. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement. And now we're trying to develop a civil rights movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at OperationHope.org.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit SearchDogFoundation.org. Made possible by SearchDog USA.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, we eliminate the middleman? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
The Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey-free zone.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. Not Mike, though. Peter Werby in on the Mike Malloy Show. 866-303-2270. The emails are pouring in to calltalkyes@yahoo.com. A lot of concern about these far right-wing Christians who have booted off a very, very, very successful Air America format in Phoenix, Arizona. And in fact, there is a major attempt, and people are donating to this from all over the country, to Save Air America Phoenix. And that's the website, saveairamericaphoenix.com. Let me do this. There's a number of you waiting. You're talking about, let me see, you're demeaning Christians. David wants to say many AAR hosts demean Jesus. All right, we'll get to that in a minute, but let me do a little of my own. Let me add some gasoline to the fire here and start off with this this news item that I read about. Few Americans know the First Amendment. According to the story in the Associated Press, Americans apparently know more about The Simpsons than they do about the First Amendment. Only one in four Americans can name more than one of the five freedoms guaranteed by the First Amendment. Now, listen to, I want you to hear how this story is posed. So here is what the five freedoms guaranteed by the First Amendment. Pay attention to what it says and pay attention to the order. Freedom of speech. Now, almost all of us say, hey, freedom of speech. We know what happened to that Denver teacher. Maybe we'll talk about that a little later. If you don't, a guy spoke his mind in class. Now he's been suspended. A lot of that going on. Freedom of speech. That's the most important thing to us as an individual and as a political collectivity, the ability to speak our mind. So when you say First Amendment, people almost always say freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom to assemble to redress grievances, right? But here it says, freedom of speech, religion, press, assembly, and petition for redress of grievances. But more than half can name at least two members of the cartoon family, The Simpsons. I could name three. I don't know why I couldn't think of little Lisa's names. Can you think? I gave you one, right? So what are the other, the famous one? Come on, Bart, right? Homer, Marge. Anyways, there was a study by the McCormick Tribune. And McCormick, God, he's this far right-wing guy in, what did he own, the Chicago Sun-Times? Freedom Museum found that 22% of Americans could name all five Simpson family members, compared with just 1 in 1,000 people who can name all five First Amendment freedoms. Wow. I bet you if you did an Air America survey, I bet it would be a lot better. Let's see. The survey found more people could name the three American Idol judges than identify three First Amendment rights. I have to say I can't name any because I never have even seen the program. Pardon me. It also showed that people misidentified First American rights. About 1 in 5 people thought the right to own a pet was protected. All right. So remember, this is what the article said, that the five freedoms are freedom of speech, freedom of religion, of press, of assembly, and petition for redress of grievances. All right. So here's what it says. Congress shall make no law restricting an establishment of religion. That does not give you freedom of religion. It forbids the government from establishing an official religion. This is number one, numero uno, on the minds of the founding fathers. Then it says that it cannot, then you have freedom of religion, prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That was also an issue way back then, right? Then you can't abridge freedom of speech or of the press or of the right to peacefully assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. But in the founding fathers' minds, religion, and particularly when it was commingled with government, it was so dangerous to the freedom of people that that is the number one prohibition. Everything else gives you rights. I mean, there the government is prohibited from doing things as well in the Ten Amendments there. Or in the Bill of Rights, rather, the first 10. But they make it very clear that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Religion has an awful history. It's a bloody sword that has done such immense damage to the people of the world, particularly the patriarchal sky gods that are the dominant official religions of political states. And the reason that the political states loves these patriarchal religions because there is punitive in their punishments as they are, as is the state itself, the political state. They promise great rewards if you're a good citizen or a good religionist, but there's always beneath the velvet glove the iron fist. Now, before you get too upset with me, spending a lot of time within the peace and social justice movement in the United States, if empirically someone would say, describe religionists, I would say they're the kindest, most decent people, ethically driven, and they do immense good work in this world. Many, many of them, much more so than secularists. Because when I was just down in Venezuela for the World Social Forum at the end of January, and I wound up hanging out with all these ex-priests and ex-nuns, and some of them were going from Caracas on to Guatemala to build houses. They'd been priests in Latin America, just got, couldn't deal with the right-wing bureaucracy of the Catholic Church anymore. It was mostly what they said. But they still have that religious drive, that ethical drive, the good section. But there's something about systems. I mean, think about Marxism. Marxism was set up according to the man that wrote it to liberate people. It comes into the real world as a police state. What in the hell is going on there? I mean, Marx wrote eloquently about what happened to people, what happens to people under capitalism, particularly in these early manuscripts. And then guys like Lenin and Mao and Stalin and people like that get a hold of it and make it just this authoritarian police state. Anyways, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion. That's how dangerous the Founding Fathers felt that religion was towards the body politic and the citizens, because they had all experienced that. All right, let's see how I'm demeaning Christians. What do you think, Bob? Am I demeaning Christians? Bob, you're on the air on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here with you.
Yes. I'm passing through your town, and you kind of went off a little bit more than I expected you to and heard. But I can tell you that as I was driving through town and I hear you secondhand talk about some snippet from an email from some woman who said she heard on a Christian station some drivel about bringing pork is demeaning to me. I'll tell you why. I think there's a lot of other good substantive things that were said on that station, good and fundamental to the Christian belief, not some pork sandwich. And the way it was put forth seemed to be demeaning to me.
Well, you don't know. I mean, one of the things that has happened within the Christian right is that they've used it as a cudgel for a conservative agenda. So they're not like Christian right-wingers. They're really right-wingers who happen to be Christian and use that language to push forth a conservative anti-labor, anti-woman, anti-gay, anti-everything agenda.
Well, I would say that paranoia runs deeply with you and your guest, Sheldon. When you think that some Christian group backed up the purchase of the radio station to get your program off the air, I think
let me ask
a little too highly of yourself as well. And if a market won't support that Christian station, they're not staying in business.
No, but you know what? That doesn't matter. For instance, there's a newspaper in Washington D.C. called the Washington Times. It operates as a loss. It has operated as a loss for the last 20 or 25 years. It's funded by the Unification Church, the Reverend Moon paper, and they do it because it's ideologically driven. They're not interested in the market.
For you to compare the Reverend Moon with Main Street Christianity is ridiculous. It's a ridiculous assumption.
Why isn't he mainstream?
You may as well bring in every other fringe wacko group that's out there, left or right.
Well, I mean,
if a Christian station is there, let's at least, A, you should have played the snippet or the sound bite, or B, you should have at least said, here's what happened in the program, not just some, pork sandwich comment.
All right, I'll take that under advisement. Thank you, Bob. Thanks for joining us at 866-303-2270. Let's go to Richard in Farmington, Michigan, right near me. How you doing? Welcome to the broadcast. Hey, Richard, are you with me? Are you thinking about saying something, Richard?
Peter, I'm right here.
Okay, good. Go. You're on the air.
I'm talking to you now. Yes, I was. I'm angry.
How come?
I'm a Christian, and these right-wing SOBs, they don't speak for me, and I don't think they speak for Jesus. I don't think you can be a right-winger and be a Christian.
I don't know. There's been a lot of them. There's been a lot of them.
Jesus talked about the love, and these people are always, they're always talking about hate. And I think all conservatism is based in fear and in hate.
Sure it is.
Liberalism is based on hope and promise.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just sick to death of it. That religious station in Phoenix is going to be the fifth religious station in that market.
I heard it was like the eighth.
Maybe that may be true.
Yeah.
But in my view, the only reason that Jesus isn't spinning in his grave over all this is the fact that he got resurrected.
Wait a minute. All right. I mean, it's only the Christians that I know that saved me from being really 100% anti-religious. But you guys, try to take it back, because it's in the hands and has been in the hands of some bad people for a long time.
It has been. It is. And I don't understand it in the least. It just flies in the face of everything Jesus talked about. The only thing Jesus hated was rich people. I mean, he went into the temple and turned over the tables of the money changers and said it's going to be tougher for a rich man to get into heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of camel to go through the eye of a needle.
Richard, we got to take a break. So thank you. World Council of Churches, by the way, just announced the war in Iraq meeting, I think, in Sao Paulo, somewhere in Brazil. Anyways, more on this in the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werby. Seems like we stirred up something. 866-303-2270. I'll be right back on the Air America Radio Network.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Clarence Young, a scientist at GlaxoSmithKline, on how far he's willing to go.
Finding a new antibiotic is about as easy as catching one particular snowflake. It takes about 15 years to find one that works. Then, as soon as the bacteria develop resistance, we're right back where we started. But everyone benefits from antibiotics, so the war never stops. At GSK, quitting's just not an option.
GlaxoSmithKline. Today's medicines, tomorrow's miracles.
You're already doing what's hard for your health. You diet. That's hard. You do regular exercise. That's harder. You even get a colonoscopy. The hardest. If your doctor says you're at risk for a heart attack, he could tell you that adding Bayer low dose is a simple way to help prevent one out of three heart attacks. Now that's simple. Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen. Bayer low dose. A little does a lot.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Man, we got that Michigan cold still in my throat. And I know I said that about a few weeks ago, but this damn cold does not go away. Peter Werby with you, subbing for Mike and Kathy and little Molly, who's always at the station as well, tonight and tomorrow as well. 866-303-2270. We're talking about these right-wing Christians who kicked an Air America radio station off the air, a very, very successful one. It looks like totally driven by ideology. In Phoenix, there were like six or seven other Christian stations, and this station was, station airing the Air America programs was extraordinarily successful. So now there's this effort to get the station back on the air. You can go to SaveAirAmericaPhoenix.com. Number of people saying, we're dissing out the Christians. Let's see what David in Fresno has to say. David, do you think we're bad-mouthing the Lord?
Hello, Peter. How are you tonight?
Doing good. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call, sir. Listen, I'm hearing about this Phoenix station, and I'm wondering why it's such a surprise that a Christian group that owns a radio station, they don't want a group of people like Mike Malloy and such, other people that use Jesus' name as a cuss word almost constantly. Don't they have a right to broadcast what they want?
Well, that's called capitalism, and that to that extent that you're correct. But what I'm looking at is more of a an attempt to pervert the political system by silencing voices of dissent. So, because you got the money, and that's what happens in this society. Money doesn't talk; it swears, as Dylan said, right?
Right, exactly. Well, what I'm saying is that in their circle of what they want to broadcast, if somebody's on there using the one that they worship, the one that they know and feel that died for them on the cross and then was raised on the third day, you know, they use his name as a cuss word constantly and attacking him.
I don't hear this that much. I mean, there's people that are, you know, people are saying like Jesus Christ. You mean like that?
Yes, exactly. That is using
that does sound like Mike.
That word, you know, what do you mean? Doesn't sound like much. That is blasphemy. Is not much. That is like to the core of their beliefs. Huh. And you, I hear that you're saying about all these religionists, and you're right about that. Christianity and religion—that's just like like apples, comparing apples and oranges. Christianity is a true relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ.
All right, well, we got these eight other stations to preach that. Let's let it go at that. Thanks, David. Let's go to Joy. Joy, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Oh, I'm finally here.
You are finally here. It's your turn. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Santa Cruz.
Well, one of my favorite cities. In fact, all these ex-priests and nuns were from Santa Cruz that I met in Caracas. Maybe you even know them.
That's Mexico.
What?
Santa Cruz, Mexico.
Like, you're in Santa Cruz, Mexico?
I think.
Well, wait a minute. Do you know where you are?
Yes, I do.
And what country are you in?
In California. Well, in U.S., in California.
Okay. Actually, it's occupied Mexico. A lot of Mexican-American friends tell me, but whatever. Go ahead. You're on the air.
That's not why I'm calling. Thank you for filling in for Mike tonight.
Oh, what a pleasure. Go ahead.
Okay. There is a new thing on the front page of Daily Kos right now, and it's a very important story.
Okay. Tell us, quick.
Marine source follows up on Wong Kett's reports that CENTCOM is blocking certain undesirable websites from reaching the troops.
Okay.
Wong Kett is forbidden.
What is?
Wong Kett. Wong Kett's site.
Okay.
WongKett.com.
I don't
also,
know.
Wong Kett, you never heard of Wong Kett?
How do you spell it?
WONKETTE.com. She's a female web blogger.
Oh, Wong Kett. Okay, I get it.
Yeah,
like
Wong Kett.
Like a policy wonk, but this is a Wong Kett.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've never seen her website. You should go to it.
I'll go to it. But what about Air America being
forbidden? Air America is blocked.
Really?
Yes. The response when you go to Air America when you're in Iraq and you're a soldier is forbidden this page, www.airamericaradio.com, is categorized as internet radio / TV politics / opinion.
Huh.
Rush Limbaugh is okay.
Yeah.
ABC News, The Note, is okay. Website of the Al Franken Show, is forbidden.
Wow.
G. Gordon Liddy's show is okay.
The pattern is here. Yeah, they're going to let propaganda. I mean, it hasn't worked very well in the troops. About 72% of them say they want to come home before the year is over. Joy, thanks for the information. Let's go to Bill in Atlanta, Georgia. Bill, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing great. You think that there's some Republicans with artistic capability?
Yeah, I'm one of them.
Well, forgive
me for being a little biased on that one.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
I'm sorry. I've grown up my whole life. I'm an Irish Catholic Republican. You know, some of my friends call me right wing. I think I'm a little bit more to the middle, but as I'm willing to concede that we're definitely a minority in the creative community, there's plenty of us, plenty of Republican conservatives who are creative, artistic, and...
A few, but not many. I mean, historically, the greats have always been on the left. What kind of art do you do?
Everything from photography to different kinds of design and illustration.
Well, the pioneers of photography, like, what's his name, Steiglitz, I can't even think of his first name, Joseph, was it? Left wing, there's a few. The fact that there are so few right wing creative people are the exceptions that prove the rule.
I can understand.
Irish Catholic, you're supposed to be a Democrat, for Christ's sake.
Well, look up the definition of Republican. My family in Ireland are Irish Republicans, so I definitely sympathize with a lot of their views. But on the creative note, I think what happens so much is that it's just who's promoted. I mean, unfortunately, artists were not the wealthy part of the party, so we don't have as much of a voice.
Well, what are you doing in there? It's all about wealth. Hey, I got to end this hour. Thanks, Bill. Artistic, creative right-wingers, Republicans. Doesn't sound right. Peter Werby in for Mike Malloy. We'll be back with our third hour, getting your calls at 866-303-2270. This is the Air America Radio Network. Come on back.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, 3 buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. 2 little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Search Dog USA.
At Borders, we believe readers should never be stuck without something good to read.
Well, Club, we read a real classic, The Mac and Cheese Box. Let's discuss.
Oh, I loved it. The boiling of the water, the adding of the salt.
What about the French directions?
Yeah, bouillie d'eau de tasses. So romantic.
Yeah.
You'll always have something great to read with Borders Rewards. Joining is free. Earn rewards every time you shop. See store for details.
What about next month? How about the French fried onion can? I've been dying to read it.
Join Borders Rewards. Make reading even more rewarding.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. Federal prosecutors say Zacharias Moussaoui was behind bars when planes were flown into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon on September 11th, but he should be sentenced to death because his lies to federal investigators allowed the attacks to occur. Opening arguments were delivered Monday to a jury that will decide his sentence for his guilty plea to conspiracy to commit terrorism and five other charges. Correspondent Deirdre Blake says Moussaoui's defense team wants jurors to believe that he wasn't capable of carrying out a major terror attack.
In opening statements, the defense for Zacharias Moussaoui told jurors that any dreams he had of being a terrorist were a far cry from what he was actually capable of doing.
The court-appointed attorney urged the jury to fairly review the charges, no matter what he thinks of us and who he represents. The British military is about to begin withdrawing troops from Iraq. Britain's top commander in Iraq, Lieutenant General Nick Haughton, confirms 8,000 soldiers will be pulled from Iraq within the next 2 weeks, with the remaining troops leaving by the summer of 2008. General Haughton told reporters that it has become important to begin the initial steps toward withdrawal soon to show Iraqi citizens that his troops have no intention of staying forever. Former Minnesota Twins baseball star Kirby Puckett died late Monday after suffering a stroke at his Arizona home Sunday and later undergoing emergency surgery. The Twins organization issued a statement on the team's website calling it a sad day for the Minnesota Twins, Major League Baseball, and baseball fans everywhere. Kirby Puckett was elected to Baseball's Hall of Fame in 2001. He was 44 years old. Nuclear non-proliferation experts are criticizing the U.S.-India deal to expand civilian nuclear cooperation. However, Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs Nicholas Burns says the India deal doesn't compare with the Iran situation in any way.
Here you have with Iran, an autocratic state that for 18 years withheld information from the International Atomic Energy Agency about its nuclear research.
It comes at the same time the Bush administration is insisting Iran must play by pre-existing rules and not develop its civilian nuclear program. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
It's the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby subbing for Mike, broadcasting from Detroit, Michigan. Welcome to the broadcast. This is our third hour. I'd like to hear from you at 866-303-2270. I'll tell you where we've been during a lot of this broadcast. We're talking about how this Christian broadcasting company blew off an Air America format in Phoenix, Arizona. Now, this station was wildly popular, bringing out 1,000 people to events, 1,500 people to events, a broad audience base, and still, for ideological reasons, I mean, was it Dave or David in Sacramento said, hey, you got Mike Malloy on here using the Lord's name like a cuss word, I think he said. Well, what do you think they're going to do? Well, you think that people are going to get together, put together millions of dollars so people in Phoenix, Arizona won't hear Mike Malloy say, Jesus Christ? I doubt that. It's purely political. They are trying to drive the voice of opposition from the airwaves, and they've got the money to do it. That's why the people at Save Air America Phoenix, at SaveAirAmericaPhoenix.com, is putting together a fundraising effort to get them back on the air. They're just doing the unexpected in radio. They went from like 15th or 20th, something like that, to the number 3 station on the AM. And Michelle, who had emailed me earlier, let me see, did I get this from her? I think I got this through a secondhand source. Anyways, Michelle writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Just so you know, I have advertised with Phoenix Air America with great results, and a nationwide internet business should consider spending the $100 necessary to get a permanent spot on Air America's future home with a very dedicated listener base. Some people drive over 60 miles to patronize local Air America sponsors. Please encourage listeners from across the nation to help bring a lone liberal viewpoint to the conservative-laden airwaves of Arizona. Now, what you have here, I mean, understand this, this language in here, to help a lone liberal viewpoint. So there's dozens of stations in Phoenix, and there was one, and now there's zero. You think there's no liberals in Phoenix? Why was it so popular? So the idea was drive these people off the air. Drive our people, the Air America hosts, off the air. And this, again, is the totalitarian mind. They don't want, I mean, they're beyond authoritarian. They're totalitarian. They have this fascistic mindset. They want to totalize their beliefs, and they will do anything. And the idea that they were driven by, the idea that someone along the lines of the market will be the deciding point here. That's not at all. The market would have said, hey, keep these people and increase the size of the signal and put more money into the promotion budget, and we'll make even more money. So they're not about making money. So this got a lot of people upset. We actually got some conservative callers. And I was saying that because I was reading this article about that how few people knew what was in the First Amendment to the Constitution, that that they listed it here in the Associated Press account, that the five freedoms are freedom of speech, religion, press, assembly, and petition for redress of grievances, which is absolutely bad reporting. They're kind of saying, hey, the Americans don't know what's in there. And they don't know what's in there if they list it like that, because the very first item in the First Amendment to the Bill of Rights, which we all cite, we always say, hey, we got our freedom of speech. That's not the number one. The number one is a prohibition. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. That's how fearful the founding fathers were of the state becoming entwined with religion, of the power of religion over the body politic. They wanted to keep it absolutely separate, a wall, if you will, between church and state. And if you like one nation under God, hey, where do you have it? You got it in Saudi Arabia. You have it in Iran. That's one nation under God. Where else there was? Oh, yeah. Here's how it functions in practice. In the state of South Carolina, that the governor has signed this law that would completely violate the Supreme Court decision handed down in 1973 that legalized abortions in all states, that said, get out of our bedrooms, get out of our wombs. You damn Republicans and conservatives that talk about getting government off our back, and then you want to intervene in family life, in personal life. What a pack of hypocrites you are. This is the compulsory pregnancy movement. This is punishment for the sin of intercourse. Because when you get these people down to the bottom line, when they start talking about, oh, the little babies in the womb and all that, you know, and they want to name them and all that, I mean, completely violating hundreds of years of English and American constitutional law. I mean, they are welcome to their view of biology and theology, but please do not try to shove it down the throats of the rest of us. This is why they're totalitarians. They should take part in what a bunch of good Christians do, the Quakers, the Friends, who use gentle persuasion, who may want to say, well, the Quakers do this. They say, create an environment where women do not want to have abortions economically. That's the biggest driving factor in abortions is economic conditions. And in terms of what they really are upset about, loose women, women not attached to men, having sex when they choose under the conditions that they choose. This is really horrible to them. And it's okay, let it be horrible. Just don't try to shove it down the throats of the rest of us. But make birth control available easy to people. Then there wouldn't be as many abortions either. So you have the triumph of the compulsory pregnancy movement, and what you have essentially is overwhelmingly men in the South Dakota legislature deciding that men with guns, the police, will stop women from having what they've done from time immemorial, end pregnancies. Women do it all over the world, and it depends on whether it's legal or not, the conditions that that the women find themselves in when they take that step. No woman takes that lightly at all. Now, there's only three countries in the entire Western Hemisphere where abortion is legal. You know that, right? It's the United States, Canada, and Cuba. Even in these wild revolutionary countries like Venezuela and now Bolivia, places like that, still illegal. So do you think that means, and again, this is because of the pressure of the Catholic Church. Do you think that in those countries there are no abortions? No, there's hundreds of thousands of abortions a year. And what percentage of them are botched? A much, much, much considerably, dramatically, drastically higher percentage than where it's safe and legal, like in the United States, Canada, and Cuba. And does it stop people from having intercourse? No, of course not. These people are so horrible. They are so horrible. You know why they're horrible? Because they won't take care of their own business, and they intervene in the business of other people. Now, the law in South Dakota, signed by Governor Mike Rounds, the law would make it a crime for doctors to perform an abortion unless it was necessary to save the woman's life. There's no exception for cases of rape or incest. So that means that if a woman is raped, she becomes pregnant, the father is then the rapist. When he gets out of jail, I mean, there's no appending legislation here. Doesn't he have father's rights? You know how twisted these people are? And the same thing with incest. Well, fortunately, Planned Parenthood, which operates the state's only abortion clinic, these are the terrorists. These are the American Taliban, the American terrorists who have made this the case that doctors are afraid to perform a legal medical procedure. They're going to challenge it, thankfully. Acknowledging the law is a direct challenge to the 1973 Supreme Court ruling, Roe v. Wade, Rounds said the law's effective date in July was likely to be delayed by a court challenge. Rounds, a Republican, gee, what a surprise, noted the bill was approved by the legislature, quote, with bipartisan sponsorship and strong support in both houses. Well, damn these Democrats. Now, get this. In his message, Governor Rounds noted that the Supreme Court has reversed decisions before. He cited, I mean, these people are so opportunistic. He cited the 1896 Plessy versus Ferguson. This was the decision that said that states could require racial segregation in public facilities that were separate but equal. The ruling was then reversed in Brown versus Board of Education, the 1954 desegregation case. So, I mean, after hundreds of years of slavery disgracing this country, then of all these decades of segregation disgracing America, finally this was put right. Rounds, the governor, says the 1954 court realized that the earlier interpretation of our Constitution was wrong. That's why you got this idiot Bush talking about the Dred Scott decision as well, which okayed slavery back, 1840s or something like that. What these right-wing scum forget, they supported Plessy versus Ferguson. It was the conservatives that supported segregation. They supported slavery. And they opposed Brown versus education. All right, Peter Werbe here with you on the Mike Malloy Show. If you'd like to comment, 866-303-2270. Call talkyes@yahoo.com, where you send the emails. You're listening to the Air America Radio Network.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement. And now we're trying to develop a civil rights movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
Air America Radio.
This is the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby subbing for Mike tonight and tomorrow as well, as he does the Randy Rhodes Show. Mike Malloy, loose during the day. Yikes! 866-303-2270. We're talking some about religion and how it relates to its misuse and use by the far right wing. They've managed to buy a station that was airing Air America programs in Phoenix, a highly successful one, and just kicked it off the air. Now, Gene in Oregon, and I printed this out, and it was one of those deals where the whole right side of it didn't work, but apparently the same thing has happened in Missoula, Montana. And so they kicked the Air America. Now, you know, you got to remember, when you have a network like Air America, stations come, stations go all the time for lots of different reasons. But this is getting to be pattern because it turns out, let me see, here in Missoula, that said I looked at this quickly on screen, that the guy making the decisions is a right winger who, Simmons. Let me see, Dave Simmons, the Simmons Media CEO. Republican Party supporters donated thousands of dollars to George Bush, and local politician vehemently denied the decision had anything to do with his political leanings. Oh, he says, I love the Al Franken show. He says, yeah, sure. Let's see. I doubt if this is Robert Ingersoll himself, the great free thinker from the 19th century, right? And anyways, he wrote into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Great program tonight. I heard a caller use the B word a while ago, and I thought of this quote, which you may like to share. Indeed, Robert Ingersoll said, blasphemy is what an old dogma screams at a new truth. This is from Gordon in Oklahoma, I see. He says, if Mike Malloy is listening, I'm sure he's proud of you. Well, yeah, I hope so. Mike's my hero. All right, let me get my screen back on to know where to go next, and it's Ed from Reno, Nevada. Hey, hi, you're on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here with you.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, great. Yeah, I'm enjoying the show. I just want to say that I've, my background, I've got two honorable discharges from the Marines, own a truck that I've been driving for 10 years across the country, and I'm raised in a Baptist community of Texas, all right?
Okay.
I completely understand how this Christian movement has made it as far as it has, but personally, I've seen a lot of manipulation within that community, and I really feel like the people should... I want to say that what I'm seeing going on in Phoenix is the same kind of fanatical... in Phoenix is the same kind of fanatical religious type of mentality that's caused all the conflicts over in Iraq.
Well, I think so. And maybe since even these big religions rose up out of the small nature religions that helped people understand what was going on in their little small piece of the earth. If that's not too obscure. Ed, thanks for joining us on the Mike Malloy Show. I wanted to just read this from the National Council of Churches. The 38 Christian leaders from Britain, Canada, and the United States gathered in Geneva, Switzerland. And this, wait a minute, this is not what I thought. For a meeting, the World Council of Churches Central Committee. This is from 2002. They also, sorry, as I'm trying to do two things at once. That's why I need a producer. That's what producers do. They go out. Anyways, the World Council of Churches met in Brazil, somewhere in Brazil, just in the last few weeks, including representatives from Bush's denomination, United Methodist Church, and all of them apologized for what the United States was doing in the Middle East. So that's pretty decent. Here's Dan in Duluth, Georgia. Dan, you're on the air on the Mike Malloy Show. It's Peter Werby with you. Hi.
Peter, how are you?
Doing great, thanks.
I wanted to respond to that guy who called earlier, said he was driving through town and that Air America was giving itself too much credit if they thought they attracted the attention of people. And what's in the daily costs refutes that. I mean, if the military is willing to go after the liberal networks' blogs, then certainly the American Taliban would. And, in fact, there is a tie-in because the Air Force Academy has had a blow up where they're trying to beat evangelical religion into cadets.
Sure. Well, look, these people know that the emperor has no clothes. They know it, and either they know it absolutely or they feel it in their bones. And the only way, and this is true with all fascist movements, that this facade is a fake. And they know underneath it they're just like everyone else, but they want to create this unnatural hierarchy with all these symbols and uniforms and all this stuff. And because they're afraid of themselves. They're absolutely fearful. I mean, these people, no matter, they will commit incredible acts of personal courage and bravery, and they, you know, they drive big trucks, and they got guns and all of that. But underneath it all, man, they are just scared S-less of being a human being.
Right, right. And I also wanted to say about these people that are calling up to take shots at Mike. I've often thought, what makes Mike tick? And I think I've come down to he's an honorable man, which is pretty rare in these times.
And also, that is the basis of his anger. Just he and I express it differently. All right, thanks a lot, Dean. I appreciate it. We'll be right back to get your calls on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby sitting in for Mike, 866-303-2270. You're listening to the Air America Radio Network.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Jen, what's up?
Hey, how'd you know I was having a party?
Everyone knows you're having a party.
Yeah, pretty crazy, isn't it?
Totally.
Hey, I'm going to smoke up. Want to get high? Here, you'll like this.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, The Anti-Drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
You're already doing what's hard for your health. You diet. That's hard. You do regular exercise. That's harder. You even get a colonoscopy. The hardest. If your doctor says you're at risk for a heart attack, he could tell you that adding Bayer low dose is a simple way to help prevent 1 out of 3 heart attacks. Now that's simple. Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen. Bayer low dose. A little does a lot.
At Borders, we believe readers should never be stuck without something good to read.
What are you reading?
Soda Can.
Like it?
I've read it before.
Yeah, me too. I found it rather predictable. Carbonated water, aspartame.
I like the part about the phenylketonuric, though. Sounds so ominous.
You'll always have something great to read with Borders Rewards. Joining is free. Earn rewards every time you shop. See store for details.
What do you think the author meant by canned under the authority of?
Oh, that part did seem to come out of nowhere.
That's what I thought.
Join Borders Rewards. Make reading even more rewarding.
Clarence Young, a scientist at GlaxoSmithKline, on how far he's willing to go.
Finding a new antibiotic is about as easy as catching one particular snowflake. It takes about 15 years to find one that works. Then, as soon as the bacteria develop resistance, we're right back where we started. But everyone benefits from antibiotics, so the war never stops. At GSK, quitting's just not an option.
GlaxoSmithKline. Today's medicines, tomorrow's miracles.
We'll be right back.
And now, back to Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, Mike. Thank you very much. Welcome back. Got a few more segments, so join us at 866-303-2270. We're talking about lots of things. You're as ADD as I am, so it's okay. Anything you want to talk about. But a lot of it is about the station in Phoenix that was kicked off the... Whoa, there goes the voice. Pardon me. Kicked off the air by these right-wing Christians and then began making these anti-Muslim remarks. Meg, listening in to Air America in Memphis, writes in to calltalkyes@yahoo.com. She said she just went to the website. Ooh, where is it? I don't want to give it wrong. Save Air America Phoenix.com. Am I correct? I think that, yeah. Save Air America Phoenix.com. They talk about giving $100. She gave $10. And I want to tell you that this guy who called offended that you questioned this Christian station, he referred to these people as mainstream Christians. I have to tell you that the people that make such bigoted and hateful statements about Muhammad and the pork sandwich, as they did, are not mainstream, not in the least, Meg says. These people are radical fringe dominionists, and they are dangerous to this country. I venture to say they are the biggest danger to this country at the moment. I would say, yeah, they are the shock troops. They are the cannon fodder for Bushko. Bushko is just this racket, this economic racket for the rich, right? And not even doing a little of what government's supposed to, giving us, the people, a little back. So it's all about wars and looting the middle class and the working class and giving more and more money to the rich. But these people are fascistic twistoids. They're really a pack of wackos, and they don't even care about money. They are truly ideologically driven, and it's scary. Now, someone wrote me and said, how come you keep running those damn public service announcements for the Office of National Drug Control Policy, the ON, what is it, the ONDCP, right? And I just checked. I mean, they're paid ads. And this is our tax dollars. And I was saying to Jason, our board operator, I said, I don't know, man. Every time I hear those ads, it makes me want to get high. No, I don't even do it anymore. I mean, I let it out, didn't I? I used to experiment with marijuana in college. I did. I did indeed. I used to experiment with marijuana. And I got to tell you, the experiment was successful. Anyways, the anti-drug ads cost almost $2 billion. And you know what? They've done these studies. They don't do a damn thing. They don't do a damn thing. They got these new campaigns linking drug use to the war on terror and all this. What a load of crap. I mean, think about what 2 million could do in terms of the needs of our cities and our rural areas and all that. And, I mean, funding Air America, that's a little different. That's pretty good. Let's see. Eric's listening in Southgate, Michigan, just a little, as we say, downriver, down the Detroit River from us here in Detroit. Longtime listener, first-time writer. He says, I'm a proud member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. They do excellent work and was wondering if you ever heard of them. I get their newspaper, Free Thought Today, every single, what is it, month or bi-monthly. You can go to FFRF. FFRF. I like that. FFRF.org and check them out. Now, Eric says, if I hear one more Christian conservative sound off claiming that they're the minority, I'm going to go nuts. We agnostics and atheists have a long way to go, that's for sure. Why can't a person with any common sense just say, I don't know, when it comes to God? Treat people as people, as humans, he says. Who cares about life after death? It's hard enough dealing with reality sometimes. Your humanist friend and listener said he once had the pleasure of speaking with me on the air. Please continue speaking out on behalf of people like me, the free thinkers and agnostics of the world. There's millions of us. And he quotes George Carlin. You ever heard George? I played that once, didn't I, when I was substituting for Mike? I'll see if I can get the expurgated version. I think, or maybe I didn't, because with all the, you know, you got to really do a lot of clipping out of George Carlin. The Ten Commandments. He says, what is it? He said, it's a marketing device. He said, you know, like the 10 most wanted, the 10 best dressed. It's simply a marketing device. Let's get rid of them and get it down to a reasonable number. And he does. He gets it down to about, what is it, two or something like that. One, says Jason. You sure? No. Okay. Well, I'll tell you, Jason, there in New York, me in Detroit, we can't argue about facts. Right? Right, he says. All right. In Baton Rouge, Louisiana, here's Richard. Richard, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here with you.
Pleased to meet you, Peter.
Thank you.
I've had it with these hypocrites and televangelists. I've had it with their tax-free status when you got people like John Hagee on television standing in their pulpits telling people how to vote. They're totally abusing the right of religious freedom.
That's right. How the hell do they get that tax-exempt status? Doesn't that violate that Congress shall make no law establishing religion?
Well, I suppose as long as they were being humble and pious in their worship, it wasn't a problem for anybody.
Yeah.
And there are an abundance of people, lay people, in these churches who are, but they're being pushed around. You know, people forget, and all the advances that have been made just in my life in the last 52 years,
mm-hmm.
why is it that the three most contentious religions in the world, which all started in a cave, are still being practiced with such fervor?
I don't know. I mean, it works.
It's insane.
Well, you know what? It's so strange. I mean, I feel exactly like you do, and then I meet up with these liberal Christians, and gee, it just kind of, they melt my heart.
Oh, I know some really good Christian people. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the screaming lunatics, the ones who have twisted that Bible, which was written as an allegory in its time because they couldn't come out and attack the Romans openly.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've brought it forward. They've invented an end times that isn't in there, and it seems like they're doing everything they can to take us there.
Yeah, well, there you go. Hey, thanks a lot, Richard. I appreciate it. Let's stay in the South and go to Jimmy in Atlanta, Georgia, the hometown of Mike and Kathy and Molly Malloy. You're on their show. Peter Werby doing the honors tonight, though. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Peter, you're doing a great job, man.
Well, thanks. It's
a
big
shoot. I'm almost getting my Malloy fill tonight, man. It's good to have another... somebody who's on who attacks, you know.
Big shoes to fill, but I'm trying. Go ahead.
Here's some things that I've heard you mention as I'm listening to the show tonight. First of all, the right wing is aware of its racist background. They're still racist. They just try to couch it a little bit better, and they try to market what they do. Second of all, they are a bunch of fascists, and they have no interest in the actual rule of law. I mean, that's evidenced by the president and his administration that has scoffed at everything. And something I'd probably like to point out to you, let's call religion what it is. It's mythology. That's the way it's simple. It's mythology. You can have Roman mythology or Greek mythology or Norse mythology or English mythology, Hispanic, Hindu. It's mythology. That's what it is.
Well, what about like Native American stories and mythology? That those do a little better. Those link people really a little more palpably into the mysteries of life. I kind of like those
stories.
Well,
it's not a separation. It's not this separation.
Right.
I mean, it's not this European... this whole Christian lineage thing, which the Europeans and so many of the nations around the world adopted.
If I'm going to go religious, I'm going to go with one that's got a lot of gods and goddesses.
Yeah. So something else. I think that it's really about time, and I realize this is kind of drastic, but this is something that I think that the left needs to finally face up and do this. For so long, the right has used the abortion issue as a political football. And I think it's about time that the Democrats go, you know, guys, you've been wanting abortions illegal for years. Tell you what, let's take a vote. Let's do it. Let's see if you want to do it. And because it would accomplish a couple of things. It would actually put the rubber to the road, and it actually might do this.
Mm-hmm.
It might actually energize this lackadaisical, apathetic American populace to actually think that and realize that the politics of their world do affect their lives drastically. And even
well,
though
I'll tell you, Jimmy, we may be able to act on your theory, unfortunately, and find out what happens. Maybe I'm wrong, but even with these two new guys, Alito thanking this far-right Dobson for supporting him, that abolishing abortion, abolishing Roe v. Wade would really create social chaos. All right, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it. Now, here in Detroit, we have Tom Monahan. He's the founder and owner of Domino's Pizza, and he's helping to bankroll the birth of a Florida town and university based on strict Roman Catholic principles. Can you say Northern Ireland? I mean... Here is somebody that's going to take this country that's so enormously diverse in terms of race and religion and creed and all the... What's a creed? I don't even know what a creed is. Maybe, like, the left is a creed. What's your creed? a buddy, but trying to create this separation. I think Jimmy tipped me off to that just when he was talking. That's what they're all about. I mean, one of the things liberal means is a generosity of spirit and an inclusiveness. Because, I mean, I don't want to be real good friends with Republicans or conservatives or right-wingers, although I'm friendly with them. I don't want to be close friends with them. I don't want to be in a room with people that support compulsory pregnancy and a war in Iraq and despoiling the environment. I don't want to be around anybody like that. But I don't want to drive them out of the world the way they want to get rid of us, or the way they now want this separate enclave. So maybe we can have, you know, like right next to this town, we'll have an atheist or a Protestant or a Jewish little enclave, and then they can do like they do in Northern Ireland. Or maybe, why are we talking about Northern Ireland? Don't we have another example of this sectarianism of what Monaghan, this devout Catholic, is trying to put into practice? It's called, what's the name of that country? Oh, yeah, Iraq. That's right. Because the devout, man, what these people. He's going to have this town called Ave Maria and Ave Maria University. Now, there's an Ave Maria Law School out near Ann Arbor that he bankrolls. But there's a lot of talk. Let me see. Monaghan's comments Friday contrasted with statements he made. Now he's denying this. He made last year to a Catholic men's group in Boston that pornographic magazines won't be sold in town, pharmacies will not carry condoms or birth control pills, and cable television will carry no X-rated channels. So here again, totalitarianism. Take, you know how you don't get, pornography? You don't watch it. You don't subscribe to it. But there's some people that want to. Yeah. I think Jason, should we go to a break or should I take another call? Tell me. Okay, we're going to do the break. Here comes our music. That indicates break time. And, this is some mellow music. I'm a mellow guy, says Jason. Yeah, mellow music for a mellow guy. Mike Malloy, not a mellow guy. A wonderful man. I'm filling his shoes tonight. We'll be doing so tomorrow. We'll be right back on the Air America Radio Network.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Search Dog USA.
At Borders, we believe readers should never be stuck without something good to read.
Well, Club, we read a real classic, The Mac and Cheese Box. Let's discuss.
Oh, I loved it. The boiling of the water, the adding of the salt.
What about the French directions?
Yeah, bouillie d'eau de tasses. So romantic.
Yeah.
You'll always have something great to read with Borders Rewards. Joining is free. Earn rewards every time you shop. See store for details.
What about next month? How about the French fried onion can? I've been dying to read it. Oh.
Join Borders Rewards. Make reading even more rewarding.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Final segment here for this night. Peter Werby sitting in for Mike. I'll be doing the same thing tomorrow as he does the Randy Rhoads Show earlier in the day. 866-30... I'm not even giving... I'll give the number. Maybe you remember it for tomorrow night. 866-303-2270. You know, when I do my Detroit show, I get... I have no idea how many people are listening. Tens of thousands at a minimum. Now, here on Air America, there's hundreds of thousands. Maybe up towards a million. I don't know. Hundreds of thousands in any event. Almost 90 stations across the country. And I'm just overwhelmed with the email. And so my apologies. I'm not even going to get a chance to read it all myself tonight, let alone read it on the air. But believe it, if you write into calltalkyes@yahoo.com, short messages, please. I will read them tomorrow morning when I get up. Cindy Sheehan was arrested after a United Nations march. She drew international attention, remember, when she camped outside of Bush's ranch. The march to the the march to the U.S. mission to the United Nations by about a dozen U.S. and Iraqi anti-war activists followed a news conference at U.N. headquarters where Iraqi women described daily killings and ambulance bombings as part of the escalating violence that keeps women in their homes. Now, March 8th, coming up, is International Women's Day, and Code, what is it now? I can't remember. Code Pink for Peace? At least code, yeah, I think it's Code Pink for Peace, and I should have had this a little more in my head. But I'm going to see if I can get one of the founders, Medea Benjamin, on the air to talk about that. She and Cindy Sheehan and I were all at the Caracas World Social Forum. In fact, like stars or something. On my website, peterwerby.com, W-E-R-B-E, peterwerby.com. There's a nice photograph of me and Cindy together. We're just sort of posing on a Caracas street. If you go over on the right side, there's a photograph of John Lennon Park in Havana, Cuba, that I took. And then if you go to that, you can see both my Cuba trip and my Caracas trip. Yeah, I'm going to all those places you're not supposed to go. Anyways, Madison, Wisconsin, it's Shane. Shane, hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, hello, and thanks for getting me on so quickly. By the way, applause and kudos to your earlier callers regarding the religion as allegory and mythos and the other call challenging tax-exempt status for religious institutions.
Sure.
I can't get over how well-spoken some of those people are, and it seems like they're doing their homework, so bravo and keep it going. And by the way, I've just been looking through a little something here. James Madison, he actually combated this thing about apprehension of religion and tax-exempt status, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically said that no enforcement of legal observation by law or compelling man to worship God in any manner contrary to conscience should ever be imposed on us. It delves further into discussions amongst the Congress and roughly I think it was 1811 in a bill. So this whole thing about tax exempt status, we need to get into this. We need to get much more vocal about this. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't even understand the basis of it.
It's BS. People can practice true and impartial love, gratuity, support, graciousness, everything with one another without having to beg for recognition from some imaginary friend for adults.
You know, Shane, there are churches, there are denominations, very few of them, but a few of them that refuse the tax-exempt status. Shane, thanks a lot for joining us. Oh, I got to move on because we're almost at the end of the show. Up in my state, it's David. David, hi, you're on the air. David, are you with
me? Glad to hear you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to talk about something.
Oh, this is Dave in Detroit. Go ahead.
I haven't talked about in any of the media. In fact, I have to thank Mr. Malloy for pointing it out to me last week. National Food Labeling Act, the Uniform Labeling Act that's
yep.
being railroaded through Congress right now that's essentially going to take away all of the legislative, you know, power from the states and put it at the government level for any kind of food safety, regulation, anything of that nature. And I just can't turn on my TV and look at these people and think that they don't know what's going on and they just won't talk about it.
Okay, thanks a lot, Dave. Here's David in Muskegon.
You're
on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, Peter Werby, you're talking about the battle of that religious station. I think that everybody could see the rise of this movement. And it isn't just in the Bible about the American South. We got some counties right here in Michigan that support this, what you would call Christian fundamentalist movement, which is very conservative and very, fascist-like. I mean, if you listen to, like, their views on ethnicity and everything else, you will know that they are very, they're
scary.
Very reactionary.
They're very scary indeed. Let me get one last call in. Here's Chuck from Fayetteville. Chuck, you might have only about 30 seconds. You want to announce a peace rally in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Go ahead.
Sure. We're going to have our third annual large peace march and rally in Fayetteville, Saturday, March 18th. I also want to say quickly, this day marks 100 days captivity for my friend Tom Fox and three other Christian peacemakers, team workers in Iraq. I want to call on their captors to let them go.
Yeah, well, Chuck, indeed. And you need a new phone.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. But I'm glad you brought up March 18th, because beginning this Saturday, well, actually beginning with International Women's Day on March 8th and going through the 18th and the 19th, which is the third anniversary of Iraq's Bush's illegal and unnecessary Iraq war, there's going to be demonstrations all over the country, all over the world. All right. Thanks a lot, folks. I'll be back tomorrow on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werbe saying thanks for listening on the Air America Radio Network.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
You're already doing what's hard for your health. You diet. That's hard. You do regular exercise. That's harder. You even get a colonoscopy. The hardest. If your doctor says you're at risk for a heart attack, he could tell you that adding Bayer low dose is a simple way to help prevent 1 out of 3 heart attacks. Now that's simple. Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen. Bayer low dose. A little does a lot.
Hello, my name's Smokey, and I'm a hardcore biker. I'm here to tell you that Geico... Hold on a sec. Is this the right music, bro?
Really?
Anyway, Geico covers most kinds of bikes, so you can get money-saving discounts whether you're a casual weekend rider or a hardcore biker like me.
See, man, I'm not sure. This music don't make a lick of sense.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.